to hear the account of Christ's healing of the two demoniacs. Immediately before this gospel account, Christ is on a boat with the disciples, and there is a storm in the sea, and immediately the disciples are marveled by how Christ calms the sea and commands nature. Christ gets off the boat and enters into the town and encounters two demoniacs, the two men who have been demon-possessed, who have been discarded from the town, left to live among the tombs and the graveyards. And Christ encounters them, and immediately the demons inside of them recognize Christ. "What have we to do with you, O Son of God?" they ask Christ, and they plead with him, and they beg him, and ask him to send him into the herd of swine that is right there. And Christ, in one word, obliges, "Go," and sends the demons into the swine. The swine are then cast off into the sea. And what stands out so much about this passage is the reaction of the townspeople. Some of them, yes, some of them do go. They do go back and speak of what Christ has done. But the gospel says that many of them came back and told Christ to depart from them. They see the man. They see the men healed. They see Christ. They see He who commands nature, who commands even the demons, and they ask Christ to depart from him. For those pigs represent their wealth, their security, their food, and they were willing to tolerate living their life by casting aside two men rather than taking care of them. They were more than willing to go about their business and cast these two men to the side, these two demoniacs, and Christ heals them. But Christ, when he enters, also disrupts their tight social order. He disrupts their wealth and their power and their status, and so they ask him to depart. And although we may be shocked at this account, we should never be too surprised, for we know that holiness has always been a scandal, has always been foreign to the world, that holiness and the healing of Christ has always been a scandal to the world from the very beginning. Cain kills his brother Abel, simply not for anything he did to him, but because his offering pure to God. The Old Testament prophets, they spoke of repentance and of the coming Messiah, and they were killed. St. John the Baptist spoke of an even more urgent repentance, and he was hunted and killed. And of course, Christ himself, God incarnate, holiness incarnate, his very existence is a threat to the social order of Caesar and to the authority of the Jewish elders. For we know that holiness and healing and the likeness of Christ has always been a scandal to the world. After World War II in Romania, the communists had took over after years and years of Europe withstanding horrific warfare. And the communists had taken over Romania, and they had one goal in mind, not necessarily power and authority. Those were secondary. Their goal was to destroy the Orthodox Church in Romania, was to turn Christians into the demoniacs that Christ encounters today. And they did this through systematic persecution, horrific torture. They didn't want to necessarily kill the Christians. They wanted to break them. They wanted to dehumanize them, to turn them into the demoniacs that Christ encounters today. And yet out of this emerges one of the most significant and holiest spiritual groups that the Orthodox Church has ever seen, a group called the Burning Bush, made up by several Romanian Orthodox clergy, monks, and even laity who had directly experienced this torture, they had directly experienced this persecution, and they named themselves the Burning Bush. They named themselves after the Old Testament account, where Moses encounters God in the desert in the burning bush, the image of the bush that was not consumed by the fire. The church has also always seen the image of the burning bush as an image of the Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, of she who held in her womb the fire that could not be consumed. She was also an image of stillness and of prayer, a complete dedication to Christ. So in the midst of this incredible persecution and dehumanization, these priests, these monks, and these laity called themselves the Burning Bush, and they met in secret and sometimes out in the open. They would pray. They would pray the Jesus prayer. They would instruct others on how to pray. They would read the scriptures, and they would read the lives of the saints and remind their fellow countrymen, their fellow Romanian Orthodox people of what their inheritance is and of who Christ is. And despite this, the Romanian communist authorities, the burning bush was the most feared group in all of Romania. Not the military resistance, not the political resistance. The communist authorities were more than willing to tolerate armed resistance and political resistance. In fact, they even welcomed it because it consolidated their power. But what they could not tolerate was monks and priests and laity, many of whom have been almost broken by torture, coming together to pray and to, as Father Roman Braga described it, ignite a spiritual volcano among the Orthodox people. And it's because of this group and the work that they did that the people endured, and now Orthodoxy in Romania is flourishing more than even before the communists had taken over. And so we know that holiness and the healing of Christ has always been a scandal to the plans of the world. And yet when we look at this passage, the Holy Fathers also remind us to have a bit of caution, not to judge those townspeople who rejected Christ too quickly. For in those townspeople that rejected Christ, that told him to depart, that begged him to depart, the Fathers tell us that we see an image of ourselves in these people. How often do we ourselves cling to our own passions? Do we cling to our own status, our own wealth, and our egos, and tell Christ, not today, depart from us? St. Augustine, when he was repenting and becoming a Christian, would sum this up in one line. He would say, Lord, give me chastity, but not today. Not today. And so the Fathers will remind us never not to judge those townspeople too harshly, for they are an image of our own lives, our own lives, which at times can become so entangled in the world around us that Christ becomes an imposition and a bother. And yet there is such great hope for us today, brothers and sisters, not only in the healing of Christ, but especially when we dig a little deeper into the mess. This account of the healing of the demoniacs is also found in the Gospels of St. Mark and the Gospels of St. Luke. But in those two Gospels, Christ only heals one demoniac, where Matthew today, Christ heals two. To the outside world, and maybe even to ourselves, we might see this as some type of contradiction. How could these gospel writers who knew each other, how could they account these things differently? But the Fathers remind us that every time there is an apparent contradiction in Scripture, it is an invitation to dig further, to plunge further into the text where Christ is revealed. So in the Gospel of Matthew, we see this trend where he places two witnesses, because he is part of the Jewish tradition. Matthew Levi is writing this gospel to the Jews. And in Jewish tradition, you would have required two witnesses to seal an event. So today, there are two demoniacs, two witnesses that seal this event, where in Mark and Luke, there's only one. In Mark and Luke, we see Christ healing one blind man. In St. Matthew's gospel, there are two. When St. Mark and St. Luke talk of Christ telling the disciples to go and fetch one animal for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they speak only of one animal. And in St. Matthew, there is two. So we see not a contradiction, but in fact an invitation to dig further, to plunge further into the spiritual life where the gospel tells us that all of these apparent contradictions are invitations to further reveal the mystery of Christ. The God who became man, created us, loved us, and wants to heal us, wants nothing more than communion with every single person that has ever existed and will exist, and that ever will exist. And what a great reminder this is, that when we are like the townspeople today, struggling with our own passions, struggling with our own internal contradictions, between that war that St. Nikolai of Serbia reminds us, that war between the man that I am and the man that I want to be, that daily struggle, that daily contradiction, that this is where Christ enters us. Just as we are reminded to dive further into the text when there is a contradiction, just like there is a contradiction in ourselves, this is where Christ is knocking, beckoning, waiting to and approaching us, just like he approaches us today, or he approaches the demoniac today. So brothers and sisters, let us remember that what a great image this is of, as we are continuing to wrestle with our own passions, our own struggles in our life, we are reminded of what those in the burning bush would tell those later on about how they survived the incredible torture and persecution in Romania. And Father Roman Braga, St. Dimitri Stanilis, so many others who will soon be glorified, would tell us that not only, of course, through the grace of Christ and through prayer, but it was what they saw in the villages and the countryside. It was families, with children, praying together, fasting together, attending the services whenever they could, sticking together like glue, and mothers and fathers passing down the faith to their children. This is our task as well, brothers and sisters, because the world around us is always trying to make us into demoniacs. That internal contradiction within ourselves is always pulling us towards making us demoniacs, inhuman, insensitive to others, whether it's that era of the Roman Empire or the era under persecution, or even in the era today, the world is always trying to make us, turn us to dehumanize us, to make us less forgiving, less like Christ. So today, let us be like those demoniacs who encounter Christ, not like the townspeople who say, depart. For Christ has descended. Christ has descended from heaven to become man, to heal us. He's descended off the boat to encounter us. Today in the chalice, today in the liturgy. So let us remember that, and let us treat every day, not today, but every single day, as an experience, an encounter with Christ, so that we too may be healed, that we too may be made fully human in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.